Welcome, and thanks for listening to the Missouri Review Sound Booth podcast. We're broadcasting from the University of Missouri campus in Columbia, Missouri, home of the Missouri Review, the quarterly that brings you the best contemporary literature in fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. Every week, we'll be featuring a wide range of readings and interviews with writers, editors, and agents.
This week on the podcast, as part of our series of podcasts about the Citizen Jane Film Festival, we interview Sarah Bletcher. The Citizen Jane Film Festival celebrates independent film by independent women and takes place in Columbia, Missouri every fall. A graduate of NYU, Sarah Bletcher works as a drama and documentary producer and director. She is the co-founder of Singa Productions, a South African-based film and television production company that has made a number of award-winning drama series, including Zero Tolerance. Sarah has made many outstanding and noteworthy documentaries, including Cobus and DeMille, for which she won CNN's African Journalist of the Year Award. She also won the South African Film and Television Golden Horn Award and the Best Full-Length Documentary at the Africa World Documentary Film Festival for the film Surfing Soweto. She is also co-creator, director, and producer of the award-winning 36-part drama Bay of Plenty. Sarah currently lives in Johannesburg, where she filmed her debut feature film Othello Burning and most recently the feature film Ayanda.
So, my name is Jennifer McCauley, and I'm with Sarah Bletcher, the director of Ayanda, and she's just going to give us a general overview of what the movie's about.
Okay, well, the film Ayanda is a coming-of-age story about a young girl whose father died before the movie starts, and the movie is really about her learning to let go of her father, and the only way she can really do that is by understanding what happened when he died. So by going back to the incident and getting, for the first time, a real proper understanding of what really happened that moment, why that moment was so traumatic for the whole family. Mm. And when she does that, she's finally able to move on with her life.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, it's a gorgeously plotted and filmed movie. And seeing it again in the theater, I just remembered how amazing it was with this time. So before I get into the movie, how did you get into directing? Why did you decide you wanted to go into film or directing specifically?
You know, I mean, I guess, you know, when I was little and my parents used to take me off to movies, I absolutely thought that they were the most magical experience.
Yeah.
You know, particularly watching a movie in a cinema, which is the only thing you could do when I was growing up. And so you would go into a cinema and you would come out and you didn't even know what time of day it was.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was day or night. You just lived in that movie world.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so magical. And I guess, like, little kids always want to be magicians. I want to be a movie magician. Like, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think that's why I got into movies.
I like the idea of movie magician. Like,
yeah.
That's really what it is. And for a person who's definitely not a director, when I see it, I'm like, how did they put all those things together? I have no idea. So, and you always wanted to kind of be involved in the film since you were a kid?
Always. Mm. I always wanted to be involved in film. I mean, it was the most amazing experience. You know, it was the most amazing thing that anyone could do. And so, therefore, I wanted to do the most amazing thing anyone could do.
So how did, like, your dream of what a filmmaker would be compare to, like, what it really is now?
Oh, God, it's, I mean, being an independent filmmaker and particularly being a woman independent African filmmaker, it's really, really, really tough.
Really, yeah.
Like, I think when people think filmmaker, they think glamour and they think, oh, you're traveling around the world and they think, oh, you have enough money for everything.
Yeah.
Well, I do travel around the world.
Yeah.
But I spend most of my time in an aeroplane, you know, learning how to navigate the aeroplane bathroom system. It's not that glamorous.
Yeah.
I think it's really, I mean, being an independent filmmaker is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to raise the money for your films, and then it's hard to make the film on so little money, and then it's really hard convincing people to watch your film.
Yeah.
So, but the pleasure when someone gets your film.
Yeah.
Just not totally worth it.
Absolutely. So when you had said something about being a woman filmmaker is a little more challenging, what, so what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, particularly in Africa and most especially in South Africa, mm-hmm. most people who make the choices about what movies to go and see are men. Mm-hmm. So it's men who decide yeah. which movie to see. And yeah. men like movies about violence mm-hmm. or men like movies with car chases mm-hmm. or guns or action. Mm-hmm. And I don't really. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I like movies that deal with the human condition,
yeah,
what
yeah.
it means to be a person. Those are, yeah. those are the movies that I love. And
yeah.
I think it's difficult convincing people with money that those movies are valid and important
yeah.
and that
yeah.
people want to see them, especially if women aren't the ones making the choices about mm. which movies to see.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it is really challenging. You know, the first film I did was a film called Othello Burning, mm. which was yeah. the story of some Zulu guys who surf.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know, the big violence scene in the movie was a kid getting necklaced, which is this thing where a tire gets put around you and set oh my God. Alight. It's quite horrific.
Yeah.
But when we were in production meetings planning, that's yeah. all anyone wanted to about that one scene. And they were like, yeah. how are you going to shoot the body burning? How mm-hmm. are you going to get the flesh to burn? How are you mm-hmm. going to do all that? And for me, it was so strange because I was like, well, we're not going to shoot all that because yeah. we don't care about how yeah. the body actually burns. Yeah. I want to yeah. see the faces of the people that are yeah. burning the body.
Yeah.
And I want to see the impact that that's having on yeah. them as human beings.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the first time in my life I realized how different men filmmakers and women filmmakers are in terms wow. of where they point the camera.
Yeah.
Like such
yeah.
a fundamental thing
yeah.
of what you look at in yeah. a scene.
Yeah.
It's such a big difference.
It's interesting. I guess it's more literary if you're actually focusing on the, you know, the reactions of the people as well instead of yeah. just kind of, well, look how visceral and awful and, you know, horrifying yeah. it gets.
So, yeah. yeah. exactly. But it is how visceral and awful.
Yeah.
But it's how awful it is to be a human being
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Can burn another human. Being.
Absolutely.
You yeah. know, and you want to see that in the eyes,
yeah.
the way that women would see it.
Yeah.
You don't want to see the fingers.
Yeah.
You want to see the person's eyes
absolutely.
Doing that.
Yeah. That's more
thing.
Horrific, too, I think.
Yeah.
It has that impact on a number of people instead of just, like, the one person in an experience.
Yeah.
Wow. So, for Ayanda, why were you particularly drawn to this project? So, did you just get the script and you really liked it, or were you working with the scriptwriter?
No, actually, the idea for the film was my idea.
Okay.
So, I've been involved in the project since.
Okay.
I mean, I found a writer who could write mm-hmm. this
yeah.
particular script. I mean, I really think that the characters that women play in South African
mm-hmm.
film are so awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really are. They're,
yeah.
they're either ciphers for the male characters,
yeah.
and the male characters have real story and they're interesting and they've
yeah.
got a whole thing
mm-hmm.
going on. Or, very often, the female characters in South African film trade in looks and sex.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
it's looks and sex that get them to the next
yeah.
step of,
yeah.
of their journey.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to create some kind of female character
mm-hmm.
that wasn't doing that.
Mm.
That was flawed but
yeah.
whole.
Yeah.
You know, she
exists
as a whole person.
Yeah.
And she really grapples with her flaws.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
really tries to move through her life. So
yeah.
the beginning point of the movie was really to create that character.
Mm-hmm.
So that young girls could watch a movie and be
mm-hmm.
like, wow, here's something else that I can be in my life. You know, so that was really important to me.
Yeah. I mean, what's cool about Ayanda, too, is that, like, I mean, from the beginning, you're like, oh, this is a real, she has a great sense of fashion, and she's
yeah.
pretty, and she's cool, so, like, I look up
yeah.
to her, but then, you know, as the scenes go along, you get to see all the different complications and the different flaws, and, you know,
yeah.
her, I mean, she's a real person, but she's still
yeah.
kind of a real person that you kind of, like, look up to in a way,
yeah.
so I think that's it's really beautiful about her, too.
Yeah, I think it's an important part about filmmaking because, I mean, it's exactly what you said you look
yeah.
up to.
Yeah.
Like, literally, when you sit in a movie theater, you're looking up at
that's
a character.
That's true, yeah.
Quite literal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sitting there in a, particularly when you watch it in the movie theater,
yeah.
where nothing else is existing,
yeah.
so you can be that character.
Yeah, yeah.
So suddenly it becomes possible
yeah.
to do things that you never thought of was
yeah.
possible in your life before. I mean, I remember sitting in, there's a movie called Flashdance. When I was growing up.
Oh, yeah. I
yeah.
grew up with it.
yeah. And I watched Flashdance, and I came out, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm a dancer.
Me too, I thought, and I'm like, oh, I'm really good at dancing, I guess. Like,
yeah.
I could do this professionally.
Because you've watched her do it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and you put yourself in her shoes,
yeah.
so you think you can do it.
Yeah.
And it just expands the possibilities of people's lives
yeah.
in an interesting way.
I mean, I think with Ayanda too, since you created such a complex and complicated character, like, in those, like, highly emotional scenes, like, toward the end when she's talking
yeah.
with her mother and saying
yeah.
you killed me, like, you know, emotionally invested in that scene, but I can relate to it too. So I'm like, I'm looking up to her and also connecting with her.
Yeah.
And things happen in my own life too. Yeah. I think that was something really powerful about her as a character in general too.
I think it's something that's really powerful about Fulu as an actress.
Yeah.
Because I think that there are very few actresses in my experience that are that young.
Yeah.
That know how to act, but to leave the audience space to feel.
Yeah.
You know, so in that scene with the mother.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I was sitting at the monitor when we were shooting it.
Yeah.
And I like had to hold myself down if we were going to give her a hug.
Yeah.
You know, you want to.
I know. I felt the same way. I was
hug
like,
her.
Yeah.
You just want to be like, no, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's an extraordinary actress, actually.
That's a great scene too, because it's really complicated. Because I mean, you saw these kind of two generational like issues with, I mean, men and kind of just, you know, unresolved issues and love and stuff like that. So I thought that was, it was just a really powerful scene in general. So for Fulu, how did you, like, she's like magnificent. She's phenomenal.
Yeah,
and she just
totally.
Kind of just pops off the screen, and she's gorgeous and, you know, fun and just a great actress. So how did you find her? And
oh my God, with such great difficulty.
Yeah.
You know, she is literally in every scene in the movie.
Yeah.
So we needed to find an actress that had never been in a film before.
Yeah.
I wanted to create someone new.
Yeah.
So I didn't want a character that had the baggage of previous movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she had to be an amazing actress to carry an entire movie.
Mm.
And we literally saw 200 girls.
Wow. Oh.
And they were, you know, they were pretty, but they couldn't act, or they were too pretty, or they were too polished, or and literally Fulu walked into the room. I mean, it was me and Terry, the producers, who were sitting there, and Fulu walked into the room, and it felt like Ayanda was walking into the room. It was the first time I felt like a real person just came in the room, and she's being real.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing. So, it's a great experience to have.
Yeah.
To see your character kind of walk in the room.
And the thing is, I think a lot of the result of the Ayanda character in the movie is Fulu.
Mm.
Like, it's Fulu bringing herself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she doesn't say that. She says, oh my God, I had to work so hard. Ayanda's so different than me. But she's a lot like Ayanda, actually.
Really?
She's incredibly strong woman.
Yeah.
And she really grapples with life.
Mm.
You know, she grapples with relationships. She grapples.
Yeah.
I mean, Fulu is Ayanda.
Yeah. So that was a question I had too. Did you have an idea of what Ayanda was, and then Fulu came in the room, and you're like, okay, now we're going to revise it, or now Fulu has become Ayanda, or she just really embodied what you thought Ayanda was going to be?
I think both of things. I think that, you know, Fulu and I spent quite a lot of time together before we started shooting, just talking about the character, talking about what was going on in the movie. And I think she totally, I think she added to that. I think, you know, whatever the original vision of what the character was, Fulu made her more. And Fulu made her whole, and Fulu made her real.
Yeah.
So I think it's those things working together anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely a question when I saw the... when I saw her on the screen, because she just illuminated. I'm like, oh, this is probably the marriage of the actress. A great idea, great script, and just a really great actress too.
A really great actress and really great lot. I mean, I think the entire cast were amazing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, those performances, I mean, all of the performances kind of just knocked it out of the park. So what were some like surprises that you may have kind of encountered while filming or putting together Ayanda?
No, I mean, there are always surprises. You know, you start off with an idea of a movie, and then you come up with another movie while you're shooting it, and then you make another one while you're editing. So it's like the process changes all the way along. One of the things that stick out in my mind, I guess, was, you know, I did have this idea that Fulu would wear wigs, and then she would change her hair like she changed her wardrobe.
Oh, okay.
You know, it would be an idea of, this is how I feel like today, so when I put on whatever outfit I'm putting on, I'm also putting on the wig that goes with the outfit.
Yeah.
But then it came time for the lovemaking scene, and it was all of a sudden, okay, so now what are we going to do with the wig during the lovemaking scene? On set, and it was kind of amazing. It was big discussion on set. Okay, so I'm not black, so I don't deal with wig issues all the time the way many black women do. Or hair issues, even wig issues. So I was like, okay, so what are we going to do, guys? There was a long discussion on set, like we were running behind and everyone was involved in this discussion. And all the women, it was so interesting, all the women on set were like, oh my God, you can't have sex with a wig on. Because then you're going to wake up in the middle of the night, the wig's going to be between like how second. Like, there's no way she can have sex with a wig on.
Oh my God.
And the men on set were exactly the opposite. The men on set were all like, Oh my God, if she takes that wig off, it's going to be so unsexy. It's going to be the most unsexy love scene imaginable. And we were sitting with Terry, so Terry Pettit, the producer of the movie, and Terry, I mean, Terry's an actress as well. She's totally gorgeous. She's the most beautiful woman you've ever seen. And Terry was wearing a wig on that day, and Terry took the wig off, and she turned to the men and she said, "And now am I unsexy?"
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we decided, okay, well, let's take the wig. And it was funny because everyone was like, "Well, let's shoot both." I was like, "No. Let's just shoot it that way. And let's make that way work."
That was really, I mean, it was surprising. It was surprising. I was like, whoa, the wig just came off. But it was also still really sexy because,
she's so sexy.
Yeah, she was. And she just went with it.
Yeah. And he went with it.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the most striking scenes, too. I mean, like, David kind of just, you know, like, she just took it off. And he's like, no, like, nothing. He had no reaction. He's like, I'm totally invested in this love.
Yeah.
So I that was a fantastic scene. And
yeah.
It's groundbreaking in a way, too. I mean, you know, it's that she's, you know, it's not this like polished woman all the time that has to look, you know.
No, we wanted it to be real. I mean, and I think that's why we went with that decision. Like, I wanted it to be real.
Yeah.
I wanted it to feel not like a movie sex scene.
Yeah.
But like a real lovemaking scene.
Yeah, I definitely felt that way. Though,
In fact, it was Fulu's first ever sex scene that
really?
She's ever done in her life.
How did she feel about that?
She was amazing. She already told me afterwards. So I was like, wow, okay.
Because I heard sometimes people get really nervous about that.
Yeah,
like that.
No, it's a big, I think for young women, actresses, it's like a big hurdle. And especially Fulu, you know, comes from quite a proper family.
Mm. Oh, really?
So, I think it was, I think there was a hurdle and she just did it.
Are there challenges, this is a weird question, are there challenges like editing a sex scene, I guess? I mean, I guess...
I mean, the challenge is shooting a sex scene.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's quite an intimate thing.
Yeah.
So you have to close the set. You don't allow men on set.
Yeah.
Well, the DP was a man.
So
you just pretend he's a woman. But, I mean, it's... You shoot sex scenes in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and also the other scene was the bathroom scene with the mom and Fulu, where she's washing her feet. And Tati, who plays the mom, she doesn't do any nude scenes whatsoever. And she's a really good friend of mine, and she read the script, and she's like, okay, I'm going to play this character, but I'm not doing this scene. And we had a long talk, and I was like, Tati, we need that scene, you know, because you need to see... the intimacy between them, like you need Ayanda to be washing your feet, which is something that like in African households is so normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so normal. The mother will sit there and say, wash my feet, and the daughter will, like such, and it's so intimate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there was an amazing group of women on set, and they made the scene so beautiful and safe for Ntati. And the first time she watched the film, I was like, so... you're glad you did that scene. Mm-hmm. And she was like, wow, thank you for making me do that scene.
But it was
because there were so many women on set.
You
know, and I think women just understand the issues, and it's the same with sort of sex scenes. Women understand the issues and the needs and the whatever, and they just make it safe in a way that men sort of make it threatening.
It's actually really interesting that you're like bringing up comfort, because even from the movie, I'm like, I wasn't involved in it, obviously, but you can tell that the actors are comfortable with each other and they just seem more comfortable on set. I mean, even though I got caught up in that fictional dream, I mean, there's a sort of warmth to the movie and just kind of like a great chemistry from, you know,
there was a great chemistry between all of us. And in fact, many of these actors are the same actors that I worked with in my previous film.
Mm.
So they really know each other and they know how to work together. They're so generous.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so generous. They really help each other. And you know, it's sometimes when you're shooting a movie, you know, you shoot this way and then you do the reverse shot.
Mm-hmm.
When you're shooting this way, very often the actor who's not on camera gives nothing.
Really?
But these actors are not at all like that. Like they gave as much when they were off camera as they gave when they were on camera, which is beautiful.
That's awesome.
It was a beautiful shoot in that way.
That's awesome. That's really great. So one of the things I also liked about this movie, too, is I think at the end of the movie, the photographer says Africa's a continent that's reinventing itself. And you kind of elegantly depict in those collage-style portraits just different multinational residents from all over Africa.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why that was important to you to include Africans from all different sides of the continent in
yeah.
the movie.
It was completely, it was a real twist. In South Africa over the last couple of years,
yeah.
there's been a lot of xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of violence against foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's often when an economy is bad
mm-hmm.
and there's competition for no-end
yeah.
jobs.
Yeah.
It's usually that people turn on the foreigners.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
taking our jobs, you
mm-hmm.
taking our women.
Yeah.
But the area that we tell the movie about is a suburb called Yeovil
mm-hmm.
in Johannesburg,
mm-hmm.
which is huge numbers of foreigners live there. It's
yeah.
sort of like the place where foreigners land
mm.
in Joburg before
yeah.
they start little businesses and then move off into the rest
yeah.
of the city.
Yeah.
And through all that xenophobic violence,
mm-hmm.
there was no violence in Yeovil.
Mm.
It was so interesting.
Mm.
So it's like the one place in South Africa
yeah.
where foreigners and South Africans
mm.
mix in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, in my opinion, that's how you build a country.
Mm.
You know, it's the
mm.
people that come from outside
yeah.
that have the whatever it takes to get to your country.
Yeah.
You know, they're,
yeah.
they're, it's easy to sit and starve and die somewhere
yeah.
else.
Mm-hmm.
But to get yourself together, to cross over borders,
mm-hmm.
to find the money to get there,
yeah.
to set up a business, you work three times harder than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like America.
Yeah.
Who built America?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
who's
yeah.
the immigrant? And it's the same thing in South Africa, and I
mm-hmm.
really wanted to showcase that.
Yeah.
I wanted, you know, I mean, in the beginning of the, when I introduced the film, I said we wanted to show Africa in a different way.
Yeah. yeah.
And the way we want to show it is
mm-hmm.
if South Africa is all these people,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
mm-hmm.
like you think it's not, but
mm-hmm.
it is. It's all the foreigners that make up the country and
that
build up the country.
That's wonderful. I love that. Yeah, I mean, on that, I mean, there's a lot of brightness in the movie, too. And
yeah.
I mean, like, I don't, I'm not super familiar with South African films, but from what I've seen, they, I mean, Johannesburg is usually a grittier, kind of
yeah.
dirtier place, and this
yeah.
is, it does seem like a kind of... there's a lot of
yeah.
brightness and joy to the movie.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a conscious choice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I have seen a lot of South African film, and it's
yeah.
always
yeah.
very desaturated
yeah.
colors, very gray,
yeah.
very brown.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not how the country is.
Mm.
I mean, if you think about the fabrics that
mm-hmm.
women, you know, that even women in the whole of
mm-hmm.
the continent wear, they're so bright.
Yeah.
It's what the photographer says
mm-hmm.
in the beginning. It isn't all about famine and
mm-hmm.
war and diseases.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there is mm-hmm. the other side of South Africa,
mm-hmm.
which is human beings
mm-hmm.
living and loving and grieving
yeah.
and colorful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there's so
yeah.
much color in,
yeah.
in the city, and I
yeah.
definitely wanted to show that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's beautiful. I love watching it.
Yeah. No,
so
it's
as opposed to like blues and grays,
yeah.
which
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
I don't love watching those.
That's great for an international audience, too, because if we see
yeah.
the same Johannesburgs over and over again,
yeah.
but you're actually like, oh, this is, I mean, there's a humanity and warmth and joy that's been,
yeah.
you know, and that's in that particular area, too, that you
yeah.
know, we don't get to see a lot of international audiences,
yeah.
too, so that's really wonderful.
I mean, international audiences, to be honest, South African audiences, too.
Really?
The way we portray ourselves. And I mean,
mm.
it's also because mostly men make movies.
Mm.
But there's so much violence in the movies.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This movie does not have guns.
Yeah.
Well, no, the policeman actually carries a gun, so there's a gun. But he just carries it.
Yeah.
We don't focus on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no drugs. There's
mm-hmm.
no violence. There's
yeah.
no killing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
the other side,
yeah.
which is just... I'm not saying that side doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It does, and
mm-hmm.
there should be movies about all those
mm-hmm.
things, but that shouldn't be the only thing we make
yeah.
movies about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the implication of violence and... I mean, it's almost stronger in this movie than if I were
yeah.
to see it, like the way Ayaja's father died.
Yeah.
Like, that's really traumatic, just imagining it, and then
yeah.
like just knowing that that had that sort of impact on the entire family.
Yeah.
Like, you never see that, but that's such a... You know, like you were saying, like looking at the people's faces instead
yeah.
of the actual incident, that's kind
yeah.
of like throughout
yeah.
the movie. I'm like, that
yeah.
that obviously had an effect. I mean, you can see how it affected
yeah.
her entire life. And
her entire family.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a
yeah.
scene when her mother goes into the garage and just kind of freezes. That's
yeah.
a beautiful scene. It's just I mean, it was really beautifully portrayed. And I think it's really great that it's kind of like the impact of those sort of traumatic events instead of just the sensationalized event itself.
Yeah. It's more difficult to watch.
Yeah.
You know, because it requires you to work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It requires you to watch the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm not scared to pay attention to the movie, so I hope other audiences aren't.
Yeah, and it's not just escapist either. It's like you're almost forced to confront things in your own life and losses in your own life as you see them through the eyes of other people.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazingly portrayed in your movie.
Thank you.
So you also...
You make the movie worthwhile.
No, it was really just an amazing movie. Like, I was just blown away by how great it was. I'm like, wow, this is just really good. Like, from beginning to end, I was just like, that was really good. It was perfect. It was just amazing. So you also worked in documentaries before, too?
Yeah.
And there were, like, I guess I saw some moments where I guess it would be kind of documentary-like style in this movie. So were you kind of using, it, like, past influences when you were bringing that into this movie?
Yeah. I think all my movies have got that in it. Mm. You know, I think because my background is documentaries, that's how you... You know, I think the thing about making documentaries is that real life interests you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're recreating things, you want to have the unexpectedness of real life.
Yeah.
You don't just want to have what is expected.
Yeah.
And I think that does influence you as a filmmaker.
Mm.
I mean, you know, if I think of like some of the filmmakers that I totally admire. I mean, one of the filmmakers I think is totally awesome is Mira Nair. And she also... you know, comes from a documentary background.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that in her films.
Yeah.
Like you watch Salaam Bombay and it's like something you have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I definitely think that influences me.
Yeah. I mean, the characters feel like real people.
Yeah.
Even though they're not, they're actors and they're acting it out. I remember the beginning of it. I'm like, wait, this is a duck. Oh, okay, this is actually a movie. So, I mean, you can obviously see that, like, you're used to being able to, you know, create stories out of real life people. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. So influences or other sort of movies that influenced Ayanda directly? Or
you know, my daughter's name is actually Ayanda.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But when she was 15, I took her to see Juno.
Okay.
You remember that movie?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I don't remember it too well.
It was a long time ago. It was a Canadian movie with this sort of funky girl who's kind of independent. And she's pregnant, and sort of the way she responds is not what you expect.
Yeah.
And I watched my daughter, who was in high school at the time, watch that movie. And watching that movie gave her permission to be something that she hadn't thought about before.
Yeah.
And that was a real influence because when I saw how powerful that film was on my own child, I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to do something like that.
Yeah.
I want to do something that does that for other young girls, really.
Yeah.
So that film, Juno, I mean, you know, it's not my favorite film, but the power of it was extraordinary.
Yeah.
And that was a big influence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when you're a filmmaker, you watch films, and everything influences you.
Yeah.
I mean, everything influences you from other films to art to, you know, there was a photographer in the photographer in the movie, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an actor.
Oh, really?
He's really that photographer. Like, his name is Anthony Vila, and that's what he does.
Did he actually take the pictures, too?
He took all the pictures.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
No, he took all the pictures, and his lines of dialogue are not in the script.
Oh, really?
Like, he wrote them himself.
Wow.
We interviewed him and cut that into the...
Wow. So at the end of the movie, the things he was saying about, like, beauty and tragedy and color and stuff,
all that stuff, and all the stuff in the beginning where he talks about, like, wanting to portray the continent in a different way, all that stuff.
That's cool.
That's his mission.
That's great.
So he influenced me.
Yeah.
And the style, I mean, if you Google him, he's called the Expressionist. He's really young, but he's becoming a well-known South African photographer.
Yeah.
And his images are all shot in the same way that we shot the stuff that he's filming.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we shot those with the character right in the middle of the screen, talking to camera in his photographs. They're looking at camera. But, I mean, we really modeled those things on his own photography.
Mm.
So he had a huge influence. I mean, you know, it's like everything you see, everything that's in your life, you bring into your work as a filmmaker.
Yeah, that's awesome. You were saying too, like that you saw the impact that you have in your daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, just actually as an African American female, African Puerto Rican female, that's what I am.
Yeah.
But like seeing a character like that, that's allowed to be flawed and she's allowed to be joyous and happy and she's not like fitting into the stereotype, that's actually freeing in its own way too.
Yeah.
I mean, more characters like that that are allowed to fail, but they're also, you know,
allowed to struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So and fix things.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that was actually really nice too. Yeah, so do you have any other projects that you're working on or any projects you'd like to work on, like dream projects?
You know, you asked before about being a woman African filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not constantly working, I can't feed my family. So
yeah.
I work all the time.
Nice.
So in fact, this year I made two movies.
Nice.
The other film I made is just opened in cinemas in South Africa yesterday.
Oh, okay, awesome.
So that's an Afrikaans film about a young girl who's abused by her stepfather.
Mm.
Very different from Ayanda.
Mm.
But I think it's, you know, in South Africa, one in every three women is abused.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Scary. That's really scary.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really important film, you know, and I think most times when you hear that statistic, you go, oh, those are the poor women in the squatter camps.
Mm.
But it's not.
Yeah.
You know, those are the middle-class white women living in the suburbs.
Wow.
That's across the board.
Yeah.
You know, that's everybody.
Yeah.
So I think that film means already like generating a lot of talk in South Africa, so I'm very excited about that. I think that the whole conversation about abuse in South African society really needs to be spoken about.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So that movie's just finished and it opens in South Africa and then it also starts touring around the world.
Nice.
And then I'm working my next film that we will hopefully shoot in the beginning of next year is, I know it's crazy.
Wow.
Is an Indian gangster film.
Really?
Yeah.
Indian gangster. Okay.
Indian gangster film in a Muslim Indian community.
Wow. In South Africa?
In South Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great. Wow, that's great.
So it's kind of, you know, The Godfather.
Yeah.
It's kind of The Godfather, but in an Indian Muslim Somali community in Joburg.
You have a lot of amazing ideas. Like, that's awesome. That's awesome. No one else is doing what you're doing. That's great.
That's the next one. And then I'm hopefully going to do another documentary later in the year.
Okay, wow.
So there's lots, yeah. You have to keep working.
Yeah. I mean, it's working, but it's also stuff that you love.
Oh,
too,
absolutely.
So that's great. That's
absolutely. It would be nice to do, like, one movie a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I mean, there was... I just watched the film on the choir, the African choir that traveled around, and the filmmaker was up on stage and she said, oh yeah, they shot for 2 years and then they edited for a year, and I was like, wow. We shot for like 4 weeks and we edited for like 2 months and then the movie had to be finished to move on to the next one.
4 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a lot of pressure, I guess, like a very short schedule.
Yeah. No, but the budgets are really tight, so you can't shoot for more than that.
So I guess this is maybe my last question, because this we talked about, but I guess, what is it like going to the theater and then seeing your own movie and watching it with the rest of the audience?
You know, when I was talking about how hard it is?
Yeah.
When you're watching your own movie with an audience that's getting the movie, that's the payback. That's what makes it all worthwhile. You know, because it's like you realize that, I think I talked about it right in the beginning, but you can touch someone's life. You know, and that's like that. You know, I'm power hungry, and that kind of power is like, that's all I want. I just want to be able to say to people, let me just touch your life, let me just make you look at something else, let me make you think about something else for 2 hours or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that is like, that makes filmmaking worthwhile.
Yeah. If you had had a camera on my face while I was watching this movie, it would have been going through like a lot of emotions. Yeah. I was on the whole roller coaster.
So I have to say thank you to you.
Yeah, no, it was...
You made it worthwhile. Yeah.
It was fantastic. So it was, and it was just it's an important movie, I think, to internationally, especially in the United States. I think it's great for black women and women of all different cultures to have, you know, different strong women to look up to. And I'm sure in South Africa, too, it's a really important film. So thank you so much for making it. And thank you for continuing to work for us women and moviegoers. So.
You've been listening to the Missouri Review Sound Booth podcast. Music by Mark Catalano. Check us out online at MissouriReview.com, where you can subscribe to the magazine and enter our annual Miller Audio Prize in poetry, prose, audio documentary, and humor. Deadline March 15, 2016. Thanks for listening, and check back next week for a new episode of the Missouri Review Sound Booth Podcast.